أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، إله الأولين والآخرين. وأشهد أن نبينا محمد عبده ورسوله المصطفى الأمين. اللهم صلِّ وسلِّم وبارك على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد. Welcome to another episode of our Tafsir page by page. Inshallah ta'ala, today we are on page 148, which is in the 8th juz of the Quran, Surah Al-An'am. In the previous episode, we mentioned those verses in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was rebuking the people of Quraysh and the Arabs at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and how they would invent for themselves arbitrary laws, for example, when it came to their food and their meat and what they could and couldn't consume, and which animals were permissible for them to touch and to use, as opposed to those animals which they themselves forbade for themselves, ascribing then this law or this prohibition to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, lying upon Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the previous episode mentioned those verses in which he said, Jalla fi ula, the order of the domesticated animals are halal, and that which they make haram, what is the reasoning for it? On what basis do they do it? Is it something which has come to them from Allah Azza wa Jal in terms of knowledge? Is it something which they have found in terms of some authentic source? Or are these just lies and lies that they ascribe to Allah because of their own whims and desires? And so they ascribe these lies to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not based upon knowledge, but based upon wanting to lead others astray from Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentioned to us, or commanded the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to state clearly that in our religion, Allah Azza wa Jal has made all types of food halal and permissible to consume, unless it is explicitly mentioned in the Quran or in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So for example, carrion meat that dies of its own accord, or animals that die of their own accord that would otherwise be permissible if they were ritually slaughtered. For example, the meat of pigs, something which Allah Azza wa Jalla has made haram, something which is sacrificed to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, again something which is haram. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions to us that except, or with the exception of those rules that we have that tell us that they are prohibited, the general default ruling is that things are halal in our religion in terms of the food and drink that we consume. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentioned that in the final verse that we took in the previous episode, that at times Allah Azza wa Jal makes something haram upon a group of people or a nation because of the harm that they did and the evil that they did and their disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah Azza wa Jal gave to us the example of that some of the people of the book, that Allah Azza wa Jal made haram for them any animals that had claws. So that would include, for example, that had nails, and that would include, for example, the camel. Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned, for example, that Allah Azza wa Jal made even haram for them when it came to their sheep and to their cattle. Allah Azza wa Jal made haram for them the fat of those animals, with the exception of a few of those things. And so these are things that Allah Azza wa Jal says, ذَلِكَ جَزَيْنَاهُمْ بِبَغْيِهِمْ, this was done as a result of their disobedience. So things that otherwise would have been halal, and were perhaps even halal in their sharia, but then it became haram upon them for one reason or another. We continue today from verse 147, and that is the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم فإن كذبوك فقل ربكم ذو رحمة واسعة ولا يرد بأسه عن القوم المجرمين. If they disbelieve, or if they, the disbelievers, accuse you, meaning the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of lying, then say, your Lord has all-encompassing mercy, but his punishment cannot be diverted from the evildoers. Allah Azza wa Jalla, after mentioning all of this, everything that we've mentioned previously in this surah, but in particular these last couple of episodes concerning the laws of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and how those people who changed or turned away from the laws of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and they denied and rejected the messengers of Allah and the revelations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah Azza wa Jalla says concerning those people from the mushrikeen and others, فَإِن كَذَّبُوكَ, if they disbelieve in you, they reject you, they deny you, and they turn away from you, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَقُلْ رَبُّكُمْ ذُو رَحْمَةٍ وَاسِعَةٍ, then say to them that indeed your Lord has all-encompassing mercy, meaning Allah Azza wa Jalla has encompassing mercy for all of his creation, in the sense that Allah Azza wa Jalla will continue to provide for all of you, even though you have turned away. And that is from the meanings of the name of Allah Azza wa Jalla, Ar-Rahman. according to some of the scholars, that the meaning of the name of Allah Azza wa Jalla Ar-Rahman is that He is all beneficent, all gracious. And this is a wide mercy that Allah Azza wa Jalla showers upon all of His creation, because there is not a single thing upon in existence except that it is in need of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in order to survive, in order to function, in order to flourish. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla gives that mercy even to the disbelievers, even those who reject Him and deny Him, or they deny even His existence subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Azza wa Jalla allows them to take from that general mercy, because without it they couldn't live. Without it, they wouldn't have any provision or sustenance or rizq. Without it, they wouldn't live or be able to live in this world. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla gives it to all of them. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we know, also has a specific mercy that is given to the believers. And that is a greater mercy, and it is the mercy of guidance, and it is the mercy of Islam, and the mercy that is given to those people who accept the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying to these people, or commanding the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to say to them, that you should be people who turn towards the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla, rather than denying and rejecting what Allah Azza wa Jalla has sent to you of revelation and guidance and signs. You should be hurrying and rushing and hastening towards the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla that encompasses everything. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this a number of times in the Quran, that Allah's mercy is all encompassing. It's like it is everywhere. So to miss it, or to be taken away from it, or to not get a portion of it, is your fault. Meaning it is, you are the one to blame. Because if something is everywhere, and it is so widely available, then the ones who turn away from it are the ones who did so because they didn't want it. The ones who rejected and denied it and turned away from it. Not because they couldn't find it. It's not something which is so small, so hidden, so minute that it would take years of searching and in order for you to be able to see what it is. It is vast and encompassing. It is everywhere surrounding us at all times. Like for example, if someone was to say, oxygen is everywhere. You don't have to go hard to find it. It doesn't cost you money. You don't have to travel. It's just everywhere. It's all around us. Everywhere that we are, we find oxygen. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy is greater than this. So the one who then turns away from Allah's mercy is the one who has rejected that mercy. It's not because it can't be found, or it doesn't exist, or it is very difficult to find. It is everywhere and all encompassing. But those who turn away, they are the ones who rejected and turned away from it. So Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَلَا يُرَدُّ بَأْسُهُ عَنِ الْقَوْمِ الْمُجْرِمِينَ. But his punishment cannot be diverted from the evildoers, meaning those people who then turn away from that mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla. They don't accept his signs, they don't accept his revelation, they don't accept the prophets and messengers that Allah Azza wa Jalla sent to them. Then what can they have except the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What is there left for them except the punishment of Allah Azza wa Jalla? And that is why the believer is always asking Allah for his mercy subhanahu wa ta'ala, asking Allah to show his mercy upon them. The believers are always looking for ways in which they can find the forgiveness of Allah Azza wa Jalla, his mercy, his compassion, and his kindness subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Azza wa Jalla then says in the next verse, verse 148, سَيَقُولُ الَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا لَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مَا أَشْرَكْنَا وَلَا آبَاؤُنَا وَلَا حَرَّمْنَا مِنْ شَيْءٍ كذلك كذب الذين من قبلهم حتى ذاقوا بأسنا قل هل عندكم من علم فتخرجوه لنا إن تتبعون إلا الظن وإن أنتم إلا تخرصون.
The idolaters will say, if Allah had willed, we would not have ascribed partners to Him, nor would our forefathers, or have declared anything forbidden. In the same way, those before them continually denied the truth until they tasted our punishment. Say, have you any knowledge that you can show us? You follow only supposition and tell only lies. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that this is what the mushrikeen say. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would come to them, one of the things that they would use as their justifications for what they were upon, and Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us in numerous places in the Quran the different reasons and justifications that they had, and a number of them we've already mentioned. So for example, that they would say that this is the religion that we found our forefathers upon, and surely they knew better than those who came later. For example, that they would say, surely if Allah wanted to give guidance to someone, He would give it to the elite, to the rich, to the nobility. Why is He favoring the poor and the slaves? Why are they the ones? Surely Allah loves us more because Allah has given to us more. Allah has honored us more in terms of our wealth and our dunya. So why then, when it comes to what is meant to be the greatest and most important thing, He's given it to those who have nothing of the dunya? And this is all according to their own logic and their own thinking. From the reasons that they used, or the justifications that they used in order to deny the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal alone, and to deny the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, to deny the revelation of the Quran, is that they used Qadr, the decree of Allah Azza wa Jal, His divine decree subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they said that surely if Allah Azza wa Jal wanted us, or wanted, we wouldn't have committed shirk. Nor would we have worshipped anyone besides Allah. Nor would our forefathers have done so. Nor would anything have been prohibited for us. So they are saying that Allah is the one who decreed it. And because Allah allowed it, then surely He must consider it to be something which is good, something which is permissible, something. And this is, by the way, something which you will find many of the non-Muslims, even in our time today, using this argument that they have, that if there is a God and He allows this to happen. And this is often used, for example, when it comes to suffering and pain and all of the evil that we see in this world. How can there be a God when He allows this to happen? Or when it comes to, for example, issues of aqeedah and belief and iman, surely if God allows it to happen, then it must be okay. All of these religions must be acceptable to God. He doesn't have a problem with any of them because God, if He does exist, has allowed it to happen. And this is exactly what the people of the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said. And so you can see that often the arguments that are being used, even till today, are arguments that are not new. They're not something which people have come up with today for the first time ever in the history of mankind. But they are the same arguments that are rehashed and repeated from generation to generation, from ummah to ummah, from nation to nation, from prophet to prophet. This is exactly what the people used to say before as well. And so it is important here to see what Allah Azza wa Jal says in response. He says, كَذَلِكَ كَذَّبَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ حَتَّى ذَاقُوا بَأْسَنَا. He said, likewise, those who came before them continually denied the truth until they tasted our punishment. So what is Allah Azza wa Jal doing in this argument of theirs? That it is Allah's decree. He's the one that allowed us to commit shirk, so therefore He must find it okay and it must be acceptable to Him. And likewise, our forefathers and so on. What does Allah Azza wa Jal say? كَذَلِكَ كَذَّبَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. Likewise, this is how those who came before them also rejected revelation and guidance. So for the Muslim, what does this show? For those of us that believe in Allah Azza wa Jal and accept Islam and the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that this argument isn't acceptable to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Isn't acceptable to Allah Azza wa Jal. The use of decree, and by the way, it is used, the divine decree of Allah Azza wa Jal, the Qadr of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, it is also used as an argument by many Muslims. Muslims will say that Allah, you know, decreed for me to do this sin, or Allah decreed for me, if Allah wanted, I would pray, if Allah wanted, I would be good, if Allah wanted, I would be a good Muslim. And so we often use, or Muslims will use, the same excuse in divine decree, not to reject Allah or to go outside of the fold of Islam, but when it comes to fulfilling their obligations, or to doing good deeds, or to worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, it is important to remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are two types of decree when it comes to the decree of Allah Azza wa Jal. And this is what the people of shirk became confused in, and it is often what the Muslims become confused in as well in our time because of the lack of their knowledge. The first is what we call Allah Azza wa Jal's divine decree, that is His universal decree. His universal decree is that which no one can escape, and is something which Allah Azza wa Jal has placed upon everyone, and there is no ability for anyone to escape from it. So for example, that every single person in the dunya will die. That's something that everyone accepts. Doesn't matter who you are, Muslim, non-Muslim, rich, poor, male, female, everyone accepts that you will die. That is Allah Azza wa Jal, His Qadr al-Kawni, His universal divine decree. No one can escape from it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed in His universal decree certain things. Not all of them are things that are pleasing to Him. Allah has allowed for shaitan to live, and shaitan is the worst of all evil. But Allah allowed for him to live, and allowed for him to whisper to people, and allowed for him to try to tempt them away from the path of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah allows for different things to happen, like pain and suffering and these types of things. These are all from the universal decree of Allah Azza wa Jal. Why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow this? Allah Azza wa Jal is al-Hakim, all wise, all knowing. For us to even question this is not appropriate. But we can say, for example, that Allah Azza wa Jal allows it because it is something which then allows for Him to test His slaves. It is a test for us. So when you see hardship and you see difficulty, how will you respond? Because if people all had only Iman and only had good, then where is the challenge and where is the test? You have shaitan and you know the evil of shaitan so that you can appreciate the blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal and Iman. And likewise, you see evil so that you can appreciate the blessings of good. And so Allah Azza wa Jal has allowed these things to take place. But that doesn't mean that Allah Azza wa Jal likes it. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَلَا يَرْضَى لِعِبَادِهِ الْكُفْرِ. Allah is not pleased that his slaves should disbelieve. But Allah has allowed disbelief because that is where we come then to the free will of people. Because if Allah was to force them, then what would the people say? That we don't have any free will, right? And that's what you often hear. If we're forced by God, then what's the point? Allah has given to you free will, and that is why people do as they do in the world, in everything, not only in terms of religion, but in terms of their life. You in one household, the differences between you and your spouse and your children are varied and great. You eat one type of food and your husband or wife wants something else and the child wants something else. Even in these small things, you differ so greatly because every one of you has expressive free will. You can express it the way that you will. And likewise, when it comes therefore in issues of Iman, disbelief and so on. So Allah Azza wa Jalla doesn't force anyone. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed a limit. Everything that takes place must come under the control of Allah Azza wa Jalla, meaning that Allah Azza wa Jalla has to allow for it to happen, and He does subhanahu wa ta'ala in the way that He sees most befitting Jalla fi'ula. Then we have the second type of decree, and that is His Qadr al-Shar'i, His divine decree that is to do with this Sharia. These are the things that Allah loves and wants and what He encourages. And that is Islam and Iman and following and worshipping Allah Azza wa Jalla. And that is for that reason that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the prophets and messengers and revealed the divine books. Because the first one, you can't escape anyway. The first one, you can't go in anyway. The fact that you're born from a mother and father, the fact that you have to live in this life, that you die in this world, all of those things are staple. The sun rising, the moon coming, all of day, night, all of, these are things that everyone knows, and they are stable things that Allah Azza wa Jalla has decreed in His universal decree. But the shar'i things, those are where the free will comes in. This is what Allah wants for you. This is what Allah encourages you to do. This is the path to Allah's reward and His pleasure. But that's where you have your free will. Do you get free will in the first one? No. I die, you die, you don't get a choice. You were born to parents, I was born to my parents, you didn't get a choice. My skin color, my ethnicity, whatever, that's not our choice. Those are things that Allah decrees. But the second one, that's where you have the choice, because that is the important one. That is the one that shows whether you are willing to accept guidance or to reject guidance. And so they're using Allah Azza wa Jalla, the people of shirk and others, they mix up or confuse these two. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that it is not a valid enough excuse. Why? Because even those people today who use this as an excuse, they only use it as an excuse when it comes to Allah's worship, when it comes to belief in Allah Azza wa Jalla and Tawheed. You don't hear people using the excuse of divine decree when it comes to their everyday life. Don't go to work then. Don't get up and make any food. Don't go shopping. Don't get married. Don't do anything. If Allah had decreed it for you, it's going to happen anyway. But we know by our very instinct and nature that you need to go and do certain things in order to get certain results. That's also from the way that Allah Azza wa Jalla has set this universe in its place. So you have to go to work in order to get a wage. You have to get up and find a spouse in order to get married. You have to, for example, consummate that marriage in order, by Allah's permission, to have children. You have to go and cook and make food and shop and so on in order to provide food for your family. Those are steps that are necessary. If you were to stay at home and say, Allah's rizq will come to me and I don't, it's the decree of Allah, then Allah Azza wa Jal, no person would do this, because any sensible person doesn't know what Allah's decree is. You don't know what Allah decreed. Because then you could say that I am poor and have nothing, because that's what Allah decreed. But maybe Allah decreed something else for you. How can you even know what Allah's decree is? So to use that already to say that it's, for example, a fait accompli, that I have already been doomed, that's why I don't worship Allah, because Allah decreed, we don't have that mindset in anything else. You work and you go to school and you go to university and you do everything else because you don't know what your future holds. You could possibly be a millionaire tomorrow, but you have to work for that. You don't know that you're going to be a millionaire, and you won't know until you take the requisite steps. But you also may live a life of poverty, but again, you won't know. So when it comes to our dunya, when it comes to our life, when it comes to the trappings of the world, we work and we put in the effort, because we don't take it as something which is necessarily, we don't know yet what's being decreed for us. And so we take the requisite steps in order to reach whatever we reach. So why then, when it comes to religion, when it comes to ibadah, when it comes to worship, when it comes to tawheed, do we all of a sudden believe that Allah Azza wa Jal has decreed this for us or that for us? Maybe Allah decreed for you to be a believer. So why don't you go and believe? Why do you always assume that Allah decreed for you the worst? Allah decreed for you kufr. Allah decreed for you not to worship. Allah decreed for you not to obey His laws in Islam if you're a Muslim. Allah decreed for you not to fulfill your obligations if you're a Muslim. Why is that always the decree of Allah? Why wouldn't you think of Allah what is better and more befitting? As Allah Azza wa Jalla said in the Hadith al-Qudsi, أنا عند ظن عبدي بي, I am as my servant thinks of me. Why wouldn't you think the best of Allah and less in the dunya, as opposed to the best is of the dunya that you can achieve the most in the dunya, but when it comes to Allah Azza wa Jalla, you think the worst. And that is why Allah Azza wa Jalla says that this is not acceptable. This excuse doesn't make sense logically, doesn't make sense from a shari point of view, doesn't make sense in your own experience in life in terms of what it is that you're trying to achieve. And that is why Allah Azza wa Jalla says that this is what the people before said, and likewise they also tasted the punishment of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then goes on to say, قُلْ هَلْ عِنْدَكُمْ مِنْ عِلْمٍ فَتُخْرِجُوهُ لَنَا. Say, have you knowledge of this that you can show us? Meaning, what is this based upon? Allah's decree is this, or Allah's decree is that, using this as an excuse before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla says, therefore, it's not based upon any knowledge. This isn't based upon anything which has any weight to it, because anyone that has this excuse will automatically contradict themselves in their own personal life. When it comes to their wealth, when it comes to their child, when it comes to everything else in the dunya. Because without it, unless someone is clinically unwell, insane, without it, you can't live in the dunya. If that is your mindset, that you don't do anything, that everything's been decreed, that you don't have choice on it, then you can't do anything in the dunya. You can't achieve anything. And the moment that you start to try to achieve, you have contradicted yourself. And so therefore, the decree of Allah Azza wa Jal is not an excuse. And that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says at the conclusion of this verse, إِن تَتَّبِعُونَ إِلَّا الظَّنِّ وَإِن أَنْتُمْ إِلَّا تَخْرُصُونَ. You follow only supposition, and it is only the lies that you tell to yourself and to others. This is just you and your conjecture and your thoughts. It's not based upon anything. It isn't something which Allah Azza wa Jal said or not didn't say. It is just you with your own thoughts and the logic that Shaytan has given to you and the traps of Shaytan that you are following. And that is what Allah Azza wa Jal then goes on to say in verse 149, قُلْ فَلِلَّهِ الْحُجَّةُ الْبَالِغَةِ فَلَوْ شَاءَ لَهَدَاكُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. Say, the conclusive argument belongs to Allah alone. Had He so willed, He would have guided you all. Allah Azza wa Jal has the greatest of evidences. And if you were to stop and to think and to ponder, those evidences would lead you to the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal alone. And had Allah willed, He could have guided you. As those people of the Quraysh said, if Allah willed, we wouldn't have... If Allah willed, it's true. You would have all been upon Tawheed. But Allah Azza wa Jal, in His wisdom that is infinite, that we don't understand, that we can't comprehend, and it's not our place to question the wisdom of Allah Azza wa Jal, it is from the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He placed us in this dunya as a test, to see which one of us would be sincere and truthful, and to see those from amongst us that would be arrogant and turn away and reject and deny Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so Allah could, yes, of course Allah could. He is all powerful, Jalla fi'ula, almighty, all able to do all things. But just because Allah can doesn't mean that He has to. It's not my place or your place to impose upon Allah Azza wa Jal. It is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to impose upon us that which He wills of His sharia and His law, Jalla fi'ula. In the final verse that we'll take today, because then the next verses are together, so with the next page, and inshallah we'll keep them together as a single passage. So the final verse that we'll cover today, verse 150, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, قُلْ هَلُمَّ شُهَدَاءَكُمُ الَّذِينَ يَشْهَدُونَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ حَرَّمَ هَذَا فَإِنْ شَهِدُوا فَلَا تَشْهَدْ مَعَهُمْ وَلَا تَتَّبِعْ أَهْوَاءَ الَّذِينَ كَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا وَالَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْآخِرَةِ وَهُمْ بِرَبِّهِمْ يَعَدِنُونَ. Say, bring your witnesses to testify that Allah has forbidden all this. If they do testify, do not bear witness with them. Do not follow the whims of those who have denied our revelation, who do not believe in the hereafter, and who set up equals with their Lord. Say, come and testify for this. All of these things that you're claiming, what Allah did, what Allah didn't do, the way that Allah wants you to believe or not believe, all of this that you have, that you ascribe to Allah Azza wa Jal, bring your witnesses. Where did you get this from? Because knowledge either has to come from a source that is authentic, or it has to come from trustworthy witnesses that can come and bear witness and give testimony that they heard, that they saw. And that is why the companions of the Prophet ﷺ in our Sharia are all udul, trustworthy. they lived and served the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they narrated from what they heard of him sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No other generation has that except the companions, that all of them were trustworthy because Allah chose them to be with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to preserve his knowledge and to convey it. So bring these people. So there are only two possibilities. The first one is that you don't have witnesses. So therefore you don't have evidence. So therefore these assertions that and claims that you're making are false claims, false assertions that you are claiming to Allah or ascribing to Allah Azza wa Jal. Or the second possibility is that you're going to give testimony, that you can find witnesses. But these witnesses are either speaking from knowledge because they were there present at that time, or they're not. In which case they are false witnesses. And the testimony that they are giving is also false. And that is why Allah Azza wa Jal says, فَإِن شَهِدُوا فَلَا تَشَدْ مَعَهُمْ. Because if they do bear witness and testify, then don't bear witness with them, because they're only speaking lies. These people are coming and ascribing even greater lies to Allah Azza wa Jal. If they can lie about Allah's religion, then they have no problem coming and testifying to the lies that they have ascribed to Allah Azza wa Jal. And that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the conclusion of this verse. وَلَا تَتَّبِعْ أَهْوَاءَ الَّذِينَ كَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا وَالَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْآخِرَةِ وَهُمْ بِرَبِّهِمْ يَعْدِلُونَ. So do not follow the whims and desires of those who have denied our revelation, do not believe in the hereafter, and have set up equals with their Lord. All these people do is follow their whims and desires, and they wish to do as they please and as they wish, and then manipulate the laws and ascribe them to Allah Azza wa Jal, because then it allows them to do as they please, as the Quraysh often did. They would change the laws to suit them and do as they pleased, and then change them back when it suited them again. And that is what you find in many religions that are not from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it is based upon people's whims and their desires. And with that, inshallah ta'ala, we come to the end of today's episode. Barakallahu feekum wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.